I'll be honest with you. I never thought I would see 2025. I mean, I was born in 1980. So 2025 seemed a long way off. And so I never thought we would see 2020. And if we did see it, there would be floating cars. I was looking through the lens of the Jetsons. Anybody ever watched the Jetsons? Man, I used to think when the Jetsons, I said, one day we're going to be there. Floating cars, robots that clean for us. Come on. And some of that, we do have little robots that do some kind of cleaning. But man, I thought we would be living in the Jetsons era. But we're not. We're living in 2025. And the thing that I like most about New Year's, the thing that I like most is that it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. It is a time that we actually get to begin anew. Now, I don't know about you, but 2024 for me was rough. It was a rough year. There were highs and there were lows and some low lows. And so I'm grateful for a new year. I'm grateful because in this new year, it doesn't matter what happened last year. See, sometimes we get focused on the past, don't we? Sometimes we're so focused on the past that we can't recognize what God's doing in the future. I want you to open up your Bibles this morning to John chapter 21, starting with verse 1. John chapter 21. Starting with verse 1. This is a story that is a very well-known story. And this, to me, is the epitome of a fresh start.
Pastor, John chapter 21, verse 1.
Yeah, 21, verse 1. Yes. And we're going to go through 1 through 14. 21, verse 1 reads like this. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two more of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Then they said to him, I'm going fishing. Then they said to him, well, we'll go with you. They went out and immediately entered the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was him. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, throw the nets on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they threw it and now they were not able to draw it in because the abundance of fish. Amen. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net full of fish. For they were not far from land, but about 300 feet away. When they came to land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net full of 153 large fish to the land. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Now the disciple dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came to and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? It's a fresh start for Peter. I love this story because what you've got to understand is that at this point, Peter's dealing with shame. Do we have anybody in the house who's dealt with shame? I deal with shame. Let me just be transparent and honest with you for a moment. There are times in my life I look back on and I am utterly ashamed of that. And in fact, there's times recently that I've done things that I look in the mirror. Because, you know, when we come to church, oftentimes we put on the best front. Oh, come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You come into church and you're acting like everything's good, but on the inside, you know you're struggling. On the inside, you know you're fighting. In fact, when you look in the mirror, you look and know who you are. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, we think nobody else knows the struggles we have or the trials we've seen. We think that maybe even God knows who we are and knows us just as we are. But maybe if we can just hide it from everybody else, we'll eventually get over it. The truth of the matter is, we're just like Peter. Let me draw your attention to a few things. Peter went back fishing. He was not called to be a fisherman. In fact, Jesus was walking along the shore and they were out fishing and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Peter was the one who walked on water. We often talk about him sinking, but he walked on water. The only person besides Jesus to walk on water. Peter's the one when Jesus asked, who does man say that I am? And then he asked them, well, who do you know that I am? Peter's the one that responds, you're the Jesus, the Messiah. And he says, you're the one that God only revealed this to you. Peter's the one. But Peter's the one that cut the ear off the soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter's the one who had told the Lord, I will never abandon you. Yes. And Peter's the one that was warming himself at a fire on the day that Jesus would be tried and crucified. Peter's the one that denied him 3 times. I want you to imagine with me in your sanctified imagination what kind of guilt and shame Peter's carrying. So much so that he believes that there is no call on his life. So much so that he decides to go back to his old life. See, sometimes guilt and shame causes us to do things and go back to things we wish we couldn't or wouldn't go back to. He's gone back fishing. And there's nothing wrong with fishing, but it's not what he was destined to do. And so we see he goes back fishing. But you know what the funny thing is? Peter was a leader. Notice that some of the other disciples go back to fishing with him. Some of you are called to be leaders. Amen. Some of you are called to lead people to the Lord. And sometimes, maybe you're like me, and this last year I went through this, maybe you're like me, and you feel like I'm not called, you feel like you're not anointed, you feel like that your past is so bad that you can't do a thing for the Lord. Other than maybe show up on a Sunday, other than maybe say amen and hallelujah, that maybe Maybe if I just come to church, that'll be enough. Let me share with you. In 2006, I joined the military in 2006. That seems like so far away, doesn't it? I had joined the Army, National Guard in Virginia. And when I joined them in 2006, I was actually running from the call that God had on my life. I knew I was called to be a minister. I knew that God had asked me to step in. And at that time, I thought my only calling was in youth ministry. And I had some stuff that had happened at the end of, in the middle of 2005, in the beginning of 2006. And I was like, God, I don't want anything to do with ministry. I'd go to church occasionally. I know, right? Bad for a minister to say. But I'd go to church occasionally and think that if I went occasionally or played worship music in my car or something like that, then God wouldn't hold it against me. God wouldn't look bad at me for not doing what I was called to do. So I joined the military in 2006, and I thought that maybe if I just was a chaplain's assistant, not a chaplain, but a chaplain's assistant, maybe if I did that job, then this yearning inside of me to do the will of God, this drawing of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God, maybe that would be satisfied. And so in 2006, I became a chaplain's assistant, and I thought for sure that I was satisfying God somehow. But our call to serve God is much deeper than that, isn't it? It's deeper than doing something out of obligation, right? Because I felt like I had to. And so I served as a chaplain's assistant for 15 years in the military. And I eventually, while I was in Afghanistan in 2009, I was standing there and I was struggling with this calling and struggling with being a chaplain's assistant in combat. I was dealing with all the stuff that was going on. And in Afghanistan, that's a war-torn nation, that is a Muslim nation that does things that I can't figure out where their thought of logic comes from. I was standing in the tower and I was looking out over an expanse of the base of the Himalayas, and I remember seeing this like pillar of fire, what looked like behind this mountain, just seemed to be shooting up. And I leaned over to the guy that was in the tower with me. I said, "Hey, what's that?" And he says, "That is the sun setting in the foothills of the Himalayas." And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that is so beautiful. And let me tell you, they only had, they're kind of like Arizona, they only had two colors, rock and dirt. Occasionally olive trees, but mostly dirt and just rock. And so I remember, because it was a 12-hour shift, and I remember in the morning I saw the same pillar of fire over the mountains, and it was the sun rising. And I remember thinking to myself and God speaking to my spirit, if I can show you beauty where there's bloodshed, what more can I do with a yielded life? From that moment on, in that tower, probably made the guy with me think I was weird because I was sobbing. I remember saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. See, I was just like Peter. I had gone to something familiar. I had gone to something that made me comfortable. Peter went back to fishing. And you know, the interesting thing was, in his own might, while he's fishing, he catches nothing. But when Jesus speaks to him, they catch so many fish that they had to call in other people to help haul it in. Hold on just a second. So if we yield ourselves to the Lord and listen to His voice, we can do more than what we can do on our own. This year, wouldn't it be amazing if everyone here today would yield to the Lord and do exactly what He asks us to do? You know what happens? Peter draws in the net, but other people help him draw in the net that followed him into the boat. So the people that you're leading, when they see you yield to God and give up your old life and not go back to it. See, I knew right then that once I gave my heart to the Lord, and I encountered, someday I'll share with you an encounter I had with God, that I knew absolutely, positively, there was a God. When you encounter God in such a way, oops, I'm off the camera, I'm sorry. When you accept God in such a way that you encounter Him, that it's a life-altering encounter, that when you do something wrong, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're severing that relationship with God. I knew who God was, just like Peter. And I can imagine on that time in Afghanistan, Him saying to me, just like He says later on in verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I imagine in my mind Him saying to me, Danny, Pastor Danny, do you love me? See, it's not just enough for us to accept His love. We gotta love Him back. Now, my wife is a very forgiving and a very graceful wife. And I imagine that if all I did was accept her love and never gave it back, that our relationship wouldn't quite function the way it's supposed to. So Simon Peter gets to this point. He dives into the water when he realizes and just so you know, John is a little conceited. He says the one who got, that Jesus loved the most. Come on now. Isn't that, can you imagine, like my son saying, Mom loves me more than you, talking to me. That's just a little conceited. But either way, Simon Peter catches on. And he knows his only response is to run to the Lord. Now, I want you to imagine with me about this fresh start, right? I want you to imagine with me as he's approaching the fire, as he's approaching the fish on the grill, I want you to imagine with me the anxiety he's facing. The anxiousness he's facing. Do you, when you know God's dealing with you on something, or you know you did something wrong, do you get those butterflies in your stomach? When I was a kid, and I would come home after doing something stupid, and I knew my parents knew about it, because hello, parents kind of know everything, right? Even when you think you've hidden it from them, don't they know? I, as I'm grown up and I'm sitting around the table with my mom, my dad, and my sister and other family members, I hear them tell stories and they're like, oh yeah, I remember when you did this. And I thought I got away with it. Right? Peter feels the same way as he approaches Jesus. The anxiousness. How is he going to respond to me? What's he going to say to me? I denied him 3 times. I hid from him. I was the one that could have spoke out. I was the one that could have been standing beside him through it all. But we all scattered. I'm the one that denied him. And every day, from the time he denied him till that moment, he had to deal with guilt and shame. And he sits there before the Lord, and the Lord asks him 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter, after he goes through that, his life is changed. From that moment on, the slate was wiped clean. A new year, a new day, a fresh start. I don't know what you faced last year. I don't know what you're going to face this year. But what I do know is, it doesn't matter what happened last year. It's a fresh start. There's several scriptures that talk about this. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says this. Listen to this now. He goes to, in verse 2 he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our Lord, to confront all whom, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So what is that scripture saying, and how does it tie in to the story of Peter? Peter's mourning the fact of what he did, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. And in Revelations 21:5, it says, behold, I make all things new. Amen. Behold, I make all things new. What's that mean? It means it doesn't matter what happened in your past. Don't focus on yesterday. Focus on today so you can get to tomorrow. Yeah. Because here's the truth of the matter. He died for you. Just think about that. Let that sink in for a moment. Over 2,000 years ago, He died for you. He saw Pastor Danny and all of his mess and said, you're worthy. Yes. He saw Michael in all of his mess and said, you're worthy. Amen. He saw Bob in all of his mess and said, you're worthy. Hallelujah. He saw Pastor Naomi in all of her mess and said, you're worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
And not only that, listen to this. Not only that, but He said, I love you. Maybe you're like me. And when you do something wrong, when you hurt somebody, when you've done something wrong, you're afraid to go near them. Because you're afraid of the judgment that comes from them. That maybe if they see you, they're going to look and think bad of you. They're going to think less of you. And so the natural desire of man is to avoid people that we hurt. Because of how they may respond to us. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like me. And you carry guilt and shame for the things you've done. And you think to yourself, how in the world could a God love me for who I am? And let me share with you for just a moment that He loves you for who you are, despite who you are.
Come on.
And His love is not like man's love. In fact, His love goes deeper than you could ever imagine. In fact, He sees you when you go to those websites you shouldn't go to. He sees you when you go to those places that you know you shouldn't go.
That's right.
He sees you when you're making choices that grieves your spirit because you know you shouldn't be doing this. But He says to you, I love you. I care about you. And let me just share this with you. I struggled for many years with whether my dad was ever proud of me. And then one day in 2006, just as I'm getting ready to go off to basic, my dad and I go to Bojangles. Great restaurant, has the best ham biscuit. I love ham biscuits. Salty ham, not sweet ham, anyways. I'm talking about food and I'm hungry. But listen, I'm sitting in there and my dad looks at me. And he may have said it other times, but it never registered until this day. He looked at me and said, "Son," and I'd been living a life that, like, I wasn't really going to church. I wasn't involved in anything. I'd go every now and then to a friend's church or something, but I never really committed that. And I was more running from God than anything. And I remember in that moment, my dad looked at me and I knew my mess. And my dad had lived with me for a while, so he knew my mess. And my dad looked at me and said, "Danny, I am proud of you. I need you to hear this morning. I don't know who you are in this place, but I know you need to hear God speak directly to you and say, 'I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you even when you're not proud of yourself. I love you.'" So this new year, right? And I'm not a long-winded preacher. And everybody said amen. I imagine this new year, you have made resolutions probably. I hope not. Because resolutions usually are dropped in the second week of January.
Right.
Or you forget about them. You're like me. I resolute to do this and then I'm going to lose weight and then I'm eating everything in sight. Maybe this year you say, "God, I just need a fresh start. I need just to know you love me."
Amen.
Maybe this new year you need a clean slate. Everything else forgotten and you just move forward. You don't worry about yesterday. You focus on today so you can get to tomorrow.
Come on.
I want to encourage you this morning. If you're here and you're like me and you struggle even with the acceptance that God would love you. I used to say to people that I'm not God's favorite person, but I am.
Amen.
Yeah. Let me share with you, you are the apple of His eye.
Praise God.
You are His masterpiece.
Amen.
And He knew you'd make the mistakes you made. He knew that last year I would be stupid and do things that weren't right. He knew that. So I want you to know, today, you can have a fresh start.
Amen.
In fact, as I close, maybe we can play some music. I want you to know this. That I know the years in the past for Living Waters Community Church have been great. They've been amazing. But I want you to know, God has a fresh start for us.
Come on.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to lean in to what God is doing.
Yes.
I want you to know that some people might come by and look at the church and say, "There's a church that's not growing or dying." I want you to know that's not the truth.
Amen. Right.
I don't care what people would speak about our church. I only care about what God says about our church.
Amen. Yes.
And that this year, we get to have a fresh start.
Hallelujah.
That we can see increase in this church.
Yes.
Not just numerically, but spiritually.
Yes.
That partnering with the vision of the past and partnering with what every pastor has built in this place, we get to see increase.
Yes. Yes.
Because listen, every pastor put out seed.
That's right.
Every pastor watered.
Yes.
Every pastor got to reap a harvest, and so will we. So if today you're struggling, even to hang on to a thread of a relationship with Christ, I want to pray with you.
Yes.
Because all it takes is a thread. All it takes is a lifeboat. Yes. All it takes is a little bit of grace.
Amen.
So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Danny, I just need prayer. I need prayer for a fresh start. I need prayer for a new year and a new beginning. If that's you this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning and you say, Pastor, I need prayer for a fresh start, a new beginning in 2025, a new me. If that's you this morning and you'd like prayer, would you slip your hand up and let me pray with you? I see that hand. I see those hands. Anybody else? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I hear you talk about the love of God. I hear you talk about His mercy and His grace. And that He loves me despite me. And today, of all days, starting this new year out, I just want to reaffirm my relationship with Him. If that's you this morning, would you let me pray with you? Is there one? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray. Father, you saw everyone who raised their hand that said, I need a fresh start. My hand up as well. I need a fresh start. God, I thank you that you don't hold our past against us. God, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. And God, we commit today to this clean, fresh start. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your blood makes us white as snow and that your blood covers everything. In your holy and precious name, amen.
Yeah.
And amen. Now we're gonna seal this with communion. So Bob, if you want to come up, we're going to do communion.